from Cape Town, this is the Voice of the Cape, 91.3 FM. Sunday Live on 91.3 FM Stereo. Sunday Live.
Well, 23 after 7 in the AM, welcome back. Good to be in your company now. In the recent weeks, the Justice and Correctional Services Minister, Ronald Lamola, published the draft Cannabis for Private Purposes Bill. The new cannabis rule comes with penalties, limits the amount of cannabis in one's possession, and gives criminal records to people who will not follow the rules. Joining us online is Crispin Feedy, spokesperson for the Department of Justice and Constitutional Development, to unpack this discussion. Good morning, Crispin.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Good morning to your listeners.
It's an absolute pleasure. Well, tell us a little bit more about the draft Cannabis for Private Purposes Bill and the new cannabis rules proposed for SA.
Yes, certainly. What you would recall is that the Constitutional Court, in the matter of Gareth Prince versus the Minister of Justice, ruled that the cannabis bill, ruled that the notion of criminalizing cannabis was unconstitutional. As a result, government was then required to effect legislation to give effect to that bill. So in essence, what this bill does is it gives effect to that judgment, but it then also decriminalizes marijuana, cannabis, in respect of the right to privacy for an adult person to possess this cannabis plant, cultivate it, and also its cultivation material. The bill also regulates the possession of the cannabis plant, its cultivation material, and how it gets cultivated. So the bill really goes a great way in ensuring that if one has now got cannabis in their possession or uses cannabis for private use, they are not criminalized, provided they are adults.
Okay, interesting. Now, has the legislation been passed through Parliament for processing?
Well, at this point, I think I should explain what the difference between a bill and an act is. A bill is normally a suggestion that the executive, this would be ministers through the president, would make to Parliament. Parliament will then consider the suggestion of what a new law should be. They will then open this up to the public for further discussion, and then Parliament will make its own inputs based on the advice of members of the public. And sometimes members of the public, through public consultations in Parliament, include experts, include health practitioners, it includes your radio listeners to some extent. Everyone in society has an opportunity to have a look at the suggested law and see whether it can work practically, what can be tightened in it. Once that is done, then it becomes what we call an act of Parliament. Then they recommend it again to the head of state, this time which is the president, and the president then signs it, and now it then becomes the law of the country. So at this stage, we can call it, it's a suggested law to Parliament, and Parliament could decide that it's not in the best interest of the country to have such a law, arguably speaking, and they would then strike it down. But in this instance, it would not be possible for them to argue that because we have a constitutional judgment that we would have to give effect to.
Wonderful. Now, did the government manage to get massive public input, not just from NGOs or the business industry, but from individuals themselves prior to processing, this particular piece of legislation or act, whichever, stance you appreciate? Did the government manage to get sufficient prior to it reaching the level that it has thus far?
Yeah, Mahmoud, let's get the terminology right. It's a bill. Government did go at least through a route of experts to get some consultations, but the public consultation process will now kick off in Parliament for it to become an act. And that's where a lot of members of society will be able to interact with this piece of legislation.
Interesting. Now, how different is the bill from the Constitutional Court judgment of 2018?
It is actually in line with the Constitutional Court judgment. It essentially gives effect to decriminalizing the possession of marijuana.
Now, appreciating the technicalities of cannabis, it's used very loosely depending on whether you're a pharmaceutical rep or a dealer, inverted commas. How do we unpack what exactly is cannabis in terms of the bill per se?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the bill provides a definition for what is cannabis, and it's a technical definition, which I'm not sure if our listeners would really appreciate. But I mean, for what it's worth, the bill defines cannabis as the flowering or fruiting tops and leaves of cannabis plant that have been separated from the plant, but excludes any seed or seedling, the stalk and branches without the leaf, fruit or flower, and the roots of a cannabis plant. And then also defined as any substance which contains THC. I'm sure we know what THC is. It's a critical component of cannabis. The THC is trans delta or trans hydroxynal cannabinol, basically. That's the definition of cannabis. So I think it's clearly defined, and that's quite important because people need to know exactly what is meant by cannabis. It also goes on to define the cannabis plant or the cannabis plant equivalent and cannabis product. So I think then that covers a wide range of cannabis, which is in the market in this current form currently.
One of the interesting points to note is, adding an illegal possession as different to legislation when it does get passed through as being reflecting on your criminal record. Now, how is that gauged and measured? Is it per quantity of cannabis that's in your possession? Is it the dealing? Are there like a merit point system? Walk us through that process.
Yeah, that's an important question. So once you do possess like an amount of cannabis that you are not meant to possess, so there are offenses in terms of the act, much like the way we would use alcohol, I suppose, in this instance, although alcohol is not criminalized, but The act contains some offenses, which are what it calls cultivation offenses. This is an adult person who, in a private place, cultivates more than the prescribed amount, mm-hmm. or fails to take a reasonable measure to ensure that the cannabis plant is inaccessible to children. So what we do know, for instance, is that cannabis, once consumed by children, does have undesirable effects. So anyone who cultivates it has to make sure that this cannabis plant does not end up in the right, especially the cultivation phase, does not end up in the hands of children. Again, also possessing cannabis in a public place is deemed to be, remember the Constitutional Court said that in your private space there's no problem.
Yeah.
But in a public space, one would then be, in trouble, so to speak. There again, questions of quantity and the questions of classifiable quantity, which are classified in this act, and also commercial quantity, which is also classified in this act. Also, failure to store it in a place, if it's in your private use, this would be not the plant, but the actual product. If you fail to store it in a place where it's not accessible to children, you may then also get a record.
Okay, and I mean, these records would be accessible to employers who want to employ a particular person and stand against their favor for being previously in possession of or contravening, the Cannabis Act or the Cannabis for Private Purposes Bill as it stands currently. Well, I mean, in terms of, commercial production of it, are there laws and regulations put into place in terms of, producing it within a defined scope of practice, primarily medicinal, or has that been restricted to just that?
Yeah, the purpose of this act, as I had said, was just mainly to decriminalize the possession of it.
All right.
The Department of Health and the Department of Agricultural Affairs will then speak to how the product gets commercialized in that sense for medical use, but also from a farming perspective, how it can get commercialized. But I just want to go back to what you had said just a moment ago around the criminal records.
Mm-hmm.
One of the critical things to note about criminal records is that there's no law that says that you cannot be employed if you have a criminal record.
Yes.
A criminal record is a testament of your character.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, if you speed tomorrow and you get a fine, and the traffic officer, which in law is required to do, takes your fingerprints, and make sure that those fingerprints record that you have sped. That is a criminal record.
Mm-hmm.
So, as I say, it's a testament of your character. Employers are required to have a look at your criminal record to see what type of character you are. And they would then decide whether you are employable in the space that they want you to be employed in.
Uh-huh.
So, for instance, if you have stolen money, fraud, and you have a criminal record, it stands to reason that you would not be able to work in a bank anyway because you have a record of not being trustworthy in that particular setting.
Uh-huh.
If you have a criminal record for speeding, however, and you then get employed in a bank, maybe it follows that sometimes you think that it shows that sometimes you think the law is a suggestion, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you are a fraudster.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
that is the purpose of a criminal record. It's a testament of your character, and that's why it remains with you for 10 years, so that society can know that at times there are certain laws which you think are suggestible, or there's something that you have done wrong to society on the whole. So, for instance, if you are a rapist, society should know that this person is capable of such a thing, and such records do not get written up
Absolutely.
Unless the president pardons you for this or whatever reason. The act allows for,
No, sure, man. Well, Crispin, thank you so much for your time this morning. I appreciate the insight and breaking down the technicalities of what's to come as per the bill as it stands. And, well, hopefully it all gets channeled within reasonable, proportionable, logical type of usage and not the type of misuse that we see ongoing and in the more current state. Thank you so much once again and have a lovely one.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, Crispin Feedy there speaking to us with regards to that particular component and breaking down the technicalities of the bill. So medicinal primarily and recreational. You can be in possession of it in your personal space. That's how it stands as per the Constitutional Court judgment that has recently been converted into a bill.
Sunday Live on 91.3 FM Stereo. Sunday night.